Coaches, welcome to episode 343 of the Championship Vision Podcast. I'm Coach Kevin Furtado here, and we're so excited to be back for another great episode. For some of you who don't know, I am currently writing my new book about the buzz press defense. So I have my good friends Mike DeBilbis and Jerry Finkbeiner have been helping me give me some great resources for this great book. It should be coming out within the next 2 weeks. I'm really looking forward. I'll have more information that I'll be sending out. You can purchase it on my CoachTube channel, Coach Kevin Furtado, and under Championship Vision Basketball Library. So please looking forward to that. Also, I'll have a video course alongside of it. Hey, today is episode 343. We have Coach Rhonda Farney. She's the head girls basketball coach at Georgetown High School in Georgetown, Texas. Coach Farney has the most career victories of any active girls coach in Texas and the nation, with a record of 1,283 victories and 371 losses. That's a 770 winning percentage and sixth on the all-time career list as compiled by the National Federation of State High School Associations. She has been a high school head coach for 49 seasons. In 36 years at Georgetown High School, her teams have posted 36 consecutive 20-win seasons and 35 straight bursts in the UIL state playoffs, including 7 appearances in the state tournament, highlighted by a Class 4A state title during the 2012-2013 season that was climaxed by a comfort-behind victory, 65-60 over Dallas Lincoln, in the finals to finish with a 34-4 record. She has had more than 86 players compete on the collegiate level. However, her most prized accomplishment is helping over 64 former players to enter the coaching profession. The Howard Payne Summa Cum Laude graduate, still has a teenager, also has served as a head coach at Goldwith and Ozona. She was the only girls basketball coach on the Goldwith staff and coached the 7th, 8th, junior varsity, and varsity teams. Farney has also coached track at both schools. Coaches, let's welcome Rhonda Farney. All right, thank you. All right, coaches, welcome back to the podcast. We have Coach Rhonda Farney. She's the head girls basketball coach at Georgetown High School. It would take me 2 days to completely read her resume, her bio, but I'm going to give you a short version. And I actually gave your bio earlier before we got on here. But Coach Farney has been coaching for 49 years, correct, Coach?
Correct. I've lived and been blessed, yes, to coach 49 years.
49. Wow, that's amazing. But Coach, we're going to have you kind of give your own bio here in a second, but she's going to kind of dive in to what she calls her twilight and swarm presses. I'm here to learn. And so Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And this is number two for you because you came on the podcast before and I absolutely love that.
Well, it's good to be invited back. So thank you.
No, exactly. We all want to be invited back to the party, right?
We do. So, we do.
All right, Coach. Hey, please give a bio. You said you've been coaching for 49 years, which is truly amazing. The endurance to do that. Talk about that and also talk about where you are right now and your journey of coaching.
So I started in a small school, graduated from Howard Payne, which is in Brownwood, Texas, the very heart of the state of Texas. And I coached at Goldwith for 10 years, where I was the only coach of girls sports. So I coached track and tennis and basketball and everything. And it's the home of Jody Conrad. So okay. I had a great mentor in Coach Conrad. You know, I remember we played six-player basketball when I first started coaching, Kevin. You know, that's how long ago it was. Sure. And I remember when we made that change to five-player, asking Coach Conrad, I'm like, you know, there are not very many women coaching basketball in the state of Texas. I'm going to be at a huge disadvantage because I never played the five-player game. And she gave me some great advice. She said, do your homework. do your homework, you know, always look at your personnel and figure out what you're going to do based on, you know, your personnel. And that was really good advice. And so, you know, to this day, I do that. And that's one of the reasons that I really love running Twilight Defense, because I can take it and match it to the personnel that we have. You know, sometimes we're more athletic, sometimes not quite as athletic, but, you know, I can make this work in just about every instance. And I've run it, I think we've been running it as a staple since 1997. I think that's when Southern Nazarene kind of came into our gym, and they were recruiting one of our players. And I got to know them a little bit, got to know their assistant coaches, and just fell in love with the concept. And like I said, it's helped us over the years to be able to be very, very competitive, even when we didn't have the most athletic kids. So I, like I said, started out at Gulf White, was there for 10 years, went to West Texas, coached for a couple of years in Ozona, got married. My husband, Dr. Bill Farney, was the athletic director for all of Texas for the University Interscholastic League. Oh, so all of a sudden now I've moved to Austin, where he works at the University of Texas, and I'm a small town girl, and now all of a sudden I am looking at coaching somewhere in the Austin area. Got on, I thank my lucky stars every day, got on here at Georgetown, and I've been here for 36 years, and it's been a great place to be. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where I am. And, you know, people ask me all the time, well, are you getting ready to hang it up? Well, you never know when someone is going to like want you to hang it up. But right now, I love doing what I'm doing. So, you know, I love the kids that we have, and we've just come off a good season. And I'm hoping that, you know, if the health of my husband and my health holds up, then, you know, I hope to do this for several more years.
Okay. So you actually have a number. So you're saying seven. Okay,
several,
I love that.
Several, no, that was
several. Oh, several,
seven. Several.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, don't give a number, for sure.
No, never.
When do coaches know, and maybe you can always speak about this personally, when it's time? Like, you know what I'm saying? I think I've been coaching 30-something years, not as long as you have, but, like, when do you know, like, when it's not fun anymore, when it's a grind? Can you answer that at all, or...?
Well, I think for all of us, you know, if we're honest, there are times during the season that it is a grind, you know, right. Always, even though I still enjoy it. But my friends that have retired tell me that you will just know that, you know, you just won't have that passion. You won't wake up every day, you know, just looking forward to seeing the kids and to being in the gym. And, you know, I still love all of that. So I think I'm not ready for that reason.
You just know. And that's so true. You have... But I guess you got to enjoy the grind. It sounds like to me you kind of enjoy kind of the challenge of building kids and building programs. I don't think that ever ends. So, but Coach, let's get right into, you mentioned about the defense. Let's get right into your defense. I'm sorry if I call it the buzz, because that's what we
it's
call
okay.
it. But talk about matching personnel, because a lot of times we change our stuff we do based on our personnel. Let's get right into number one, the base, the home bases, what you look for in personnel and in positioning.
Okay, so I'm going to switch to a slide that, you know, I'm sure that probably a lot of this might have come from Southern Nazarene. Yes. Over the years, but, you know, I'm going to talk about some of the reasons that I really love this, because I really think that passing is not a great skill in our game sometimes. Right. And certainly at the high school level, kids don't always have the strength to be great passers. So I think this really exploits teams that are not great, you know, passing teams. It forces a lob, it forces a long skip pass. So I think that's, you know, something that is a real advantage to running this. Plus, I think that it just makes your kids aggressive. You know, just the word buzz that you use, you know, maybe Twilight, not so much, but buzz, that just, you know, I look at this as kind of a kind of controlled chaos. You know, that's the way I look at it and the way I like to talk about it. I think another thing is that it requires your opponents to scout you and to spend a lot of time. because, you know, I'm going to tell you that most teams just run a, you know, they'll just get in a 2-1-2, you know, against this. They'll run a domino set against it. But those people that really, really look at this and play us year in and year out, I think I've probably seen just about everything. You know, so another
can
thing
you see the
is
screen
that,
okay? Can you see the shared screen?
I can.
Okay, so you can see the Google slide?
I can. So flip down to the one, it's probably the third slide, and it's going to talk a little bit more about personnel.
Yes, ma'am. Next one? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That one. Yeah. So I would just tell you that I played this a lot of different ways, but, you know, your base positions are going to be your one and two. Twos are going to be your guards. I'm going to call your three and four wings in this, and I'm going to call your five your post or your monster. Okay. And, you know, your one player is usually going to be your quickest perimeter player. Although, again, I played it a lot of different ways. You know, your two is going to have to be a good aggressive player as well. Really, our ones and twos are pretty interchangeable. So, you know, as long as they anticipate well, then and they can influence in parallel, then they're going to be very good there. You know, your threes and fours, they're usually going to be your, I say this, you know, most of the time they're going to be your taller kids. But in our way, because we force back into this, we really want our four to be a great trapper. So, you know, that's going to be the way we normally set this up. And then our five, I played our five with one of our most athletic kids, and I played it with our, you know, smartest kid. I played it with our slowest kid. You know, I think there's a lot of versatility here. They just have to be very vocal. I really don't think I've ever played Twilight very successfully with a kid that's not vocal at that position. So, you know, I would say that's one of the most important characteristics of that five.
Okay. And Coach, talk about some terms here. When you say shells out, go over, please, what you mean by shells out and convert.
Okay. So our five player is going to play the middle of our zone, and they are going to shell things out. In Twilight, we want the ball to go from sideline to sideline, not directly at the basket. So we call that shell out. We're going to play big. We want the ball to go left or right. And as long as it does, we're going to trap it and we're going to run through every passing lane. So I think that is, you know, that's what my terminology shell it out means. They're going to play big and they're going to keep the ball. They're always going to be playing in a direct line with the trap, with the ball and the basket.
Okay.
And so convert. What was that second thing?
Convert. And usually, you know, when I think Jerry, I don't know if Jerry calls it convert or reverse it. I'm trying to remember, but basically that's when the ball goes to the corner, correct?
It is. When the ball goes to the corner, to the baseline, you know, that's a convert call. And really what that means to us when we say convert is you're converting spots, you're converting positions. So, you know, when that happens, then there's going to be a shift. When that happens, your monster is going to trap in the corner. So monster's going to trap in the corner, and then everybody else is going to go from their base positions. And, you know, I've got that drawn out and I'll go over that, but that's kind of what that terminology means. And, you know, I think another really important thing to remember when you're teaching this, you've got to have a different mindset, Kevin, because you're really not guarding anyone in this, you know, and you have to make kids understand, you know, you're going over the top, you know, you're going to play, you're going to be partnered up and you're going to be playing like you're on a rubber band with other people so that you don't get gapped in this zone. You know, there's just some terminology that I think as we go along, you know, I'll talk a little bit about, but I think it's really important for kids to understand you are going to trap the ball hard and you're going to run through every passing lane. Rarely are you going to get a steal on the ball. You're going to get the steal off the ball.
Right. And you're going to go over kind of the different rotations and so forth here in a second. And what's interesting is like Jerry doesn't always trap the corner from what when he went, he kind of made me a video on it and he had some kids. He actually clogs that area sometimes. I mean, do you always trap the corner?
No, because it can be a vulnerable spot. If you don't get there, I mean, you're going to give up a really, you know, you're going to give up a good shot. So no, not always, you know, sometimes we'll play it a little bit different, but the majority of the time, you know, we normally have a big kid playing our monster. And most of the time we do.
Right.
But again, there are all kinds of adjustments that you can make out of this. And, you know, that would be one, depending on, you know, how they set their players. And, you know, one thing, a lot of times people will set, you know, personnel at the short corner, and we might trap the short corner, you know, so we might not trap out in the corner. We might just trap the short corner. So there are a lot of different ways that you can go about this.
Right. Talk about the word squeeze. And again, it's all about having your own language, right? What do you mean by squeeze within the defense?
I mean by squeeze, for example, if we were to take our onside player and step out and trap hard on the at the short corner, then we might squeeze, or we might take our player that normally would play at the elbow, and she might squeeze and drop all the way down and front on the low block on ball side.
Okay.
So that would be a squeeze. And then another terminology that, you know, I don't know if other people use this or not, but I like the terminology slow play. So for our traps, we are going to slow play. We are going to make sure that we don't lead too soon, because we don't ever want to get gapped. And because we always want, you know, the player that's going to be taking our place to get there. So I call that slow play, you know. Now, when we go, we go, you know, we go hard diagonally, but, you know, we don't leave too soon, because there is such a thing as leaving too soon, and then you'll get gapped, and, you know, I don't care what zone you're running, it won't be very good.
Right. So it is a sprint defense, but you have to be somewhat deliberate, right? Is that what you're saying? Or
very deliberate, yes. And just, you know, you have to anticipate, but you just don't want to go too soon, because if you go too soon, you'll leave gaps behind you that if the ball gets there, you'll be very vulnerable.
Yeah, just like most zones, you're kind of bumping. I mean, you're bumping each other, right? Correct?
You are.
I mean, and it's definitely, you have to have a great team concept, team. The girls have to work together in this defense for sure.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Coach, the next slide here, slide 4, is your swarm full court press. You know, we run a 2-2-1, what I call 2-2-1. It's kind of our hot scramble. It's basically a 2-2-1. We trap with the two guards. Tell me about what you do with your swarm.
I love this. And I have to give credit to Dean Weiss, who was someone that I looked up to when I first started coaching, that was a great high school coach in Texas. And I don't know, I loved something that he called his combination press. And he would set it up, and he would really force to where he wanted you to pick up the ball. So along with assistant coaches, and I've been so blessed to have really good assistant coaches. Coach Hunt was on our staff, Kelly Richardson, Kristen Curtis, you know, in thinking about how we wanted to match up in the backcourt and where we wanted to force the ball, we kind of adopted this, what we call combination press.
Okay.
And so what we're really doing is we're really using that so that we can force the ball to that sweet spot where we want to trap the ball. And so we're going to invite, you know, our opponents to take the ball and go. And a lot of times it will go right to the corner. And again, you know, when we're big and athletic and quick at the monster spot, then we love that. And we love to get two big kids out trapping on the ball. And, you know, we made a lot of people turn the ball over there.
So you're matching up in a two guard front, or you're matching up man. Tell us a little bit more about
that. So we're matching up. So the formation is going to be, it depends on how many people you put in the backcourt, Kevin.
Okay.
So I love it when people put a lot of people in the backcourt to try to break our right. pressure. So, and sometimes I laugh because I look up and there'll be people that'll have two and three people in the backcourt, and we'll only have one person, you know, back there. So sometimes we will concede, and we will just, you know, take away. A lot of times we like to force up the left side of the floor. So we will just concede. We'll take our one player in the backcourt, and we will force them to take the ball and go left and to use their left hand. Then okay. we're going to have two players at half court, and we're going to have one that's going to be right in the center circle. And then we'll have another one that will, you can number them and call them whatever, but that's exactly what it's going to look like. All right. We're going to have our one in the backcourt. We're going to have our two and three at half court. And then we're going to have our four and five. Our two and four play like they're on a rubber band, and our three and five, because we do not want the ball to go up the right side of the floor. We are inviting you to take the ball and go up the left side of the floor. And even if you take it and go all the way to the baseline, you know, we're good with that. Now, the more people you put in the backcourt, you know, we might take our one player in the backcourt, and we might face guard your best ball handler, you know, or we might bring our two player up, and, you know, we might, you know, try to, depending on how many people you have in the backcourt, we might match up with, you know, your two guards in the backcourt. And if we did that, then we would just adjust our three player, we'd bring her over, we'd bring our five player up. And again, you know, we're just trying to shade the whole right side of the court and keep the ball out of that part of the floor.
Yeah, I love that. And you can see, I have your diagram up here. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's something I'm really looking at, Coach. I'd love to get some video, more video on this, because I actually think it's either you can run it by itself with, you know, with the buzz, or you can run it as a variation to our, what I call our 2-2-1 hot press. I mean, but I really like that.
Your one is matched up in the backcourt, and the ball
better be a dog, right? I mean, she better be after. You better have a great defender there, right?
She's got to be a dog. She's got to be a dog in the backcourt. Yes. And if they dribble the ball across half court, she'll go with it. She'll go with it. And we're looking to trap with our one and our four. Two's going to play the ball reversal. Our five's going to slide over. Our five, and this would be our monster, because once the ball gets in to the court, then we're going to be in twilight. So we've forced it. We're going to trap it. Our five sliding over, getting in line with the trap in the basket. Our three is going hard. Our three is going to go hard. You know, now then you're kind of looking, this is what we would do if there's two people in the backcourt. But let's just start out. And the most basic is, if the ball is dribbled across half court, one is going, and the trap will be with one and four.
Okay.
And that's the most basic. Yes. And now we're already making our way into twilight. So you can see that our five is sliding across, getting in line with the trap and the ball in the basket. Our three player is the most important player in this. She's going to jam the middle, and then she's going to run right down basket line.
Interesting.
She's going to get a ton of touches, a ton of touches. And then she's, of course, if the ball goes on out of that trap to the baseline, which it probably will, then five's going hard, our four's going hard to trap that, and our three is going to front on the low block on ball side, and our two, you know, that would be a convert, and now then our two's dropping to the elbow, and our one's dropping to the backside block. And so there's your basic twilight.
Yeah, and you're already set right there, into the twilight, and that's what I wanted to kind of get the details of. So you pretty much have the same trappers as they cross half court. You pretty much have the same trappers on either side, or does it change?
So we really don't want it to be either side. Now, if we wanted it to be either side, we would flip all of this force it the other way, but we're going to do everything to try to keep it out of, and we've got people that are in great position to be able to play, the ball if they do try to reverse it. Now, if in the backcourt the ball is passed across half court, then our two is going to go trap. She's going to call switch. She's going to go trap the ball, and then one will take her place.
Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. Thank you for
mentioning that. Makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That was my next question, Coach.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I love how you force left. We actually, in our man-to-man, we run a force left defense, by the way. Yeah, I love that. I love how you overload the one side and absolutely you absolutely make them go to the left side. What do some of the better teams do to that? How do they counter that?
They're going to, a lot of times they will move their middle player. Most people are going to play a domino set. They're going to play somebody in the middle and have two guards in the backcourt. Sometimes they'll set their other two players in the corners, but they will a lot of times just move their middle player around and try to gap you, try to find the gaps in the zone. Because if the ball goes to the middle there, then I think when you're in twilight, then you're most definitely in a scramble mode. You're very vulnerable when the ball goes to the middle. So
Right.
that's what most people try to do, is just float that player. But because we play like our 2 and 4 and our 3 and 5, they really close down that gap depending on where the ball is. They learn to they learn what they have to do there to be able to front and keep pressure, and then our back player will move up into that so that there's no gap, behind the ball pressure.
Right. Do teams try to throw it over the top a lot of
Well,
your
if they
efficiency?
do, again, if you're matched up in the backcourt, that's really difficult to do. Yes, they
Gotcha.
will try that, but again, where you have to place your personnel, I think, to beat not just swarm, but to beat twilight, you're not in a very good position to play offense. Really, the only thing that I think that you really give up is sometimes you give up the shot in the, on the baseline in the corner. But other than that, some of the great advantages are, you force people to shoot the ball from places they don't want to shoot it.
Sure.
I think it's hard for offensive teams to rebound out of this because you're not in a good position to be able to rebound. So there's just so many things that I think are working for you when you run this, if you do it properly, that I yes, you can try to throw over the top, but I think that's difficult to do.
Right. And the diagram I'm showing now is what you already went over, Rhonda, about, trapping on a pass.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a long rotation for three. Is that an issue sometimes on that long rotation, or is she just you got to have so they got to really hustle that you got to really practice that?
They do. And they just have to be a heady player. They need to be a smart player. They need to understand it is a long rotation, but honestly, you're looking to find, the offensive players that are on that ball line, because that's where most people are going to try to reverse the ball, back there. And you're going to jam that cutter. You're going to play on top of them all the way down. So, you don't have to be incredibly fast. You just have to be a great anticipator, really good anticipator.
Yeah, absolutely on that, man. I appreciate the insight. Is there any other details you'd like to go over, on the press? And I know I wish we had, some of the breakdown drills and so forth on here, but that's something for later.
Well, I'll tell you the way we normally practice this. We normally kind of divide it up. We will work on what we want to accomplish the backcourt. So, our
Okay.
ones and twos have to know. So we'll work really hard on just denying the ball. We might deny hard with both, or we might flood the right side of the floor and make them go left. So, we will break it down that way off of the inbound. Then we'll add our three player to the mix.
Okay.
And then we'll add our three player where she has to move up. She has to understand that, she might have to move up and she might have to move into the backcourt, depending on where they set players. Because again, we don't want to get gapped. We don't want them to be able to throw to the 10-foot line, the volleyball 10-foot line. Then we'll just work that part. And you will see, I probably have it written somewhere in here in all of the notes, but I call this more art than science. More art than science. And by that,
Right.
I mean that you have to have a feel for this. You have to run it. You've got to have heady players in a couple of spots. Again, there's just a feel for where you're going to be, and to not get gapped, more so than something that I can just write down on paper and say, you know, this is exactly what you're going to do. But to be able to get that type of art to this, you know, then you have to break that down in the backcourt and you have to run it against a lot of different scenarios because people are going to game plan. If you're going to run Swarm and Twilight, they are going to game plan on how they're going to beat this. Because if they don't, then you can kill them, you know, in this. It's very difficult. So we kind of do the same thing. You know, we'll game plan against ourselves and we'll say, you know, what do we think somebody's going to run, you know, and we will make our kids, you know, just in the backcourt work all of those different scenarios that we can come up. Once the ball goes across half court, really and truly, there's not too many scenarios. If the ball goes where we want it to go, then it's pretty predictable, you know, when the ball comes across half court. So, you know, once we get into that, you know, then we're into Swarm and then we're into Twilight and we have some pretty hard, fast rules for that.
Right. And I'm assuming really quick, Coach, that you got them going down the left side. I know they're going to pass the ball to the corner, which is pretty much where mm-hmm. we want them.
Yes.
Is the usual 90% of the time they go left corner?
A lot. Yeah. You know, and they might haul off. And I mean, people do weird things, you know, when they're under pressure and you would be surprised. I mean, we played a very, very athletic, Dallas Lincoln team in the state finals the year that we won, and we were down 9 points with about 3.5 minutes left to play, and we went to this, and they're good guards that, you know, played Division I basketball all over the country. I mean, number one, our three ran through the passing lane and ran over a kid, and she never wanted to even touch the ball after that. I mean, she took herself completely out, right, you know, of the offense. And then I've had kids throw it against the back wall, you know, just do bizarre things, not wanting to get trapped. And, you know, you would think really good kids that wouldn't concern them. But even when they know they're going to be trapped sometimes, you know, it alters, you know, what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, let's get right into Twilight. And which, you know, I mean, there's different, it doesn't matter if it's Twilight or Buzz. That's what makes it kind of interesting. Talk about, first of all, let's move from the Swarm into now your Buzz, and you have it set up right here. Where's your pickup points? I know us, we like to pick up like before half court. I mean, we're really aggressive. That's good and bad sometimes. Tell us about what you guys like to do.
Well, I like to do the same thing. You know, if I'm going to play side by side, I'm still probably going to take, you know, one of our guards and we're going to pick up and force coming across half court. And obviously, you know, if they stay within lane line to lane line, then, you know, we could guard trap the ball if they keep it in the center of the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, our five players are going to be very aggressive when the ball is in the pike or lane line to lane line. And she is going to step up and, you know, front there and shell the ball out. You know, our three and our four, you know, they're going to be, it'll just depend. It depends on where they have their players set. But we like to be aggressive too. I like to, you know, I like to trap about halfway between the volleyball 10-foot line and the 3-point line extended. Okay. But again, that could change. You know, Kevin, there's so many things and so many scenarios. If I'm playing somebody that's a great shooter, you know, then I might not want to trap quite that hard if I know that I've got to go from, you know, that guard wing trap all the way to the corner. You know, sure. I might not want to make that long slide. So again, that's what I love about this. You know, you can adjust this to be kind of whatever you want it to be. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay, Coach. that's part of the deal. And I appreciate your insight. That's a great point you just made, because when Jerry was teaching me his press, his pickup points are not as high. And it might have been maybe with his Southern Nazarene team, but he was picking up a little bit lower, which I think helps in the corner coverage, correct?
Oh, it does. It does. You know, you have to really be able to, you know, to press. But again, you know, I think if you get that first good you know, strong trap, then that slows up the ball going to the corner as well. And buys some time, you know, again, as you're, you know, talking about things that you have to really work on, you know, you have to work on kids really being able to stay on the floor, you know, to play with their hands high, but stay on the floor because you have a lot of ground to cover. You really cannot leave your feet in this. And I know that sounds really crazy, but, you know, if you get airborne, you got to get back on the ground before you can accelerate again. So we tell our kids, we want to play, we want to close out with our hands high. You know, we want to play very aggressive. We want to get up in the offensive player's space, but we do not want to leave our feet, you know, so that we are always ready to rotate and, you know, move diagonally. And especially your four player, she's got a lot of ground to cover. So that's very, very important. And, you know, again, I could talk forever about, you know, just positioning yourself on all of these traps. Because, you know, with your guards, your one and your two, they are always going to be facing the sideline. And your four is always going to be trapping to the inlines. And those are just things that your wings are going to trap to the inlines. You know, your one, your guards are going to trap to the sideline. You know, your monster is always going to, when they go to the corner, they're going to cut off the baseline. Those are just fundamental things that you have to do in this for it to work.
Right, for sure. Tell me about this, Coach. We have a term we call wall, which means a lot of times we don't trap. We just get between you and the next receiver and play big, like you're saying. I'm sure there's some great players you face that you really can't trap because they'll split it, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and we will use our four player all the time to wall things off, you know, and we might do that. You know, I told them, you know, you can back up, you know, as long as just don't take away where you're wanting the ball to go. So we might back her up almost to the lane line, you know, in order to wall things off and keep it where we want it to be.
Yeah, there's so many, like you said, it's definitely an art, Coach. I'm thinking like, you know, they put great shooters. Another term that I use, and you might call it squeeze, I think, is clog. We like to clog like great players. Like if that player's in the corner, we might even deny the corner. I mean, there's so many great things you can do from this defense, correct?
Oh, there's a million things that you can do from this defense. You know, another thing that I love, you know, I might invert, you know, our guards and wings. And I might play, you know, with really quick kids in that trapping position. And, you know, I might use my bigger kids, you know, out front. And that also gives you an advantage because anytime there's a convert, you've got a big kid on the backside to rebound. So, I mean, there's just so many different things, you know, that you can do out of this. We pride ourselves here in, you know, our guards have to be able to rebound in everything that we do. So it's not really a disadvantage to have them on the backside block rebounding, even if they're rebounding against someone bigger. But, you know, it might be for someone else's team. So, you know, you can easily invert. Another thing I love to do, you know, that depending on personnel and what they want to do, I might play my guards in a tandem out front. You know, I might pick up and, you know, I might not want to move my, especially if they've got a really good player that they're playing in the middle of the court that's a great distributor, then, you know, rather than make my five get all the way, you know, outside the 3-point to get on top of them, I might use, you know, my guard and play that out of a tandem. So there's just so many different things. Very versatile. Very versatile.
Yeah, very versatile. The diagram I have here is when the ball goes to the corner, and we've been discussing that, but I guess on a skip pass, hey, when the ball is skipped out, man, you better have your girls on the move, right?
They have to be, yes, they have to be on the diagonal move. But again, you know, there should be so much pressure on the ball, you know, when you're trapping that in the corner. I mean, that's a great place, I think, to trap. And we tell our kids all the time, get a touch on the ball, get a touch on the ball. You know, that's the secret to this. Get a touch on the ball, and then somebody off the ball is, you know, they're moving through the passing lane, and that's going to be a steal.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I know Jerry and Mike teach it a lot on that skip pass. That weak side player needs to be aggressive.
Very, very.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
you know that they have to not only be aggressive, you know, that's where I think they have to be aggressive. You know, they have to move diagonally. They have to close out with their hands high. You know, those are all things they have to close out. And again, as that guard moves out, so off that skip pass, your one, as she moves out, she's moving out and she is going to wall off, or she is going to make sure that the ball didn't go back to the middle of the floor. You know, she's going to keep the ball on that side. And then, you know, as that happens, then your three player is going to be setting the trap and she's going to be playing, you know, with her butt to the baseline.
And tell the coaches, now this is where it's different, right? I mean, you're not closing out to the ball, you're basically closing out to a spot, correct?
You are. You
Yeah,
know,
which
well,
a lot of people
I
don't
say that,
understand that.
that is correct. You are, because again, this is going to pretty much, by the way that you are playing, you are going to dictate where the offensive players are, if that makes sense. You
Right.
know, I think they're basically going to usually set up in some type of domino set, but you know, where they actually get is not going to be where they want to run their offense, because you're taking away all of those spots that they want to run their offense. So, you know, that's what I think is beautiful about this, is it makes the offensive team nervous. You know, it makes them uncomfortable, you know, because you're playing in the spots that they want to own.
Yeah, for sure. And there's only so many things you can run. You can't run a lot of different sets, right? So that
No.
in alone, that's why I love running it. And sometimes we just get beat because the other team has great players sometimes on
Yeah.
rebounding. But yeah, you can only run so much.
But I think it gives you a great opportunity. And like I said, you know, to me, it's been a great equalizer. You know, if you're the less athletic of the two teams, then you always fear, you know, somebody getting a lead on you and holding the ball. We don't play with the shot clock in Texas. So, you know,
Right.
that's a real fear for us, because it's very difficult then for us to just match up player, you know, for player. But this has always been something that we can go to, and you know, it kind of tips the scale in, you know, I think in our direction, and it's a great equalizer. So, you know, for that reason, you know, it's something that we've used for a long time and used it pretty successfully.
Tell us a little bit about your overall system. As far as how much do you use Twilight and Swarm? Is that your key, your main defense, or do you go man to man? Tell us a little bit about your whole system.
So, I mean, we've run the gamut. You know, I've had years that we were pretty much a man team, and then we would just run this maybe off of a free throw situation, or, you know, we might run it a scramble depending on what side of the floor they brought the ball up, or, you know, we might run it if we want to put pressure in the, you know, kind of token pressure in the backcourt. I mean, for a lot of different reasons, we would use it. I've had some big kids the last few years, and we've run a lot of 1-3-1. And we've run a lot of 2-3 zone. And another thing that I love about this, it's really easy to disguise this. You know, I can run this Twilight out of a tandem, and it looks just like our 1-3-1. You know, I can run it side by side, it looks like our 2-3. And it essentially is a 2-3, you know, but it's a trapping 2-3. You know, we pretty much use this when we want to put full pressure, you know, on, and we pretty much trap the ball. There are very few places that we just concede, because when we run this, our kids have this mentality that this is all out, and it's all out until you secure the ball. And I love that, because it teaches your kids to not only be, you know, very aggressive physically, but it teaches them to be aggressive mentally as well.
Right, for sure. I love the word kamikaze effort that you use. I love that. And a lot of your terminology has to be about being aggressive, right, Coach?
Yes. And I think that carries over into everything that we do, you know, whether we're playing man or whether we're playing, you know, our 1-3-1. I think that terminology, that type of effort, and what we want to do defensively, being, you know, very, very aggressive mentally and physically, it's a carryover. And this is a great way to teach that and instill that.
Absolutely, Coach. And the last thing I want to go over, because I know your time is precious there, is the breakdown drills. And you don't have to go in depth, but what I love about what Jerry does is he gives the kids a lot of confidence in getting steals. So all his drills, the girls are getting steal after steal after steal. And even though it's not great passes, he's given the girls confidence to go for it, which I love that philosophy. Instead of making it really difficult for girls, he's making it where they're getting those steals, but they're almost anticipating and they're being confident in getting steals.
Well, and I think it's so easy to do that because you can take and just dictate. You can throw into that first trap, or you can dribble into that first trap, and then you have everybody. You start at your base position, then you hard trap the ball, and then everybody off the ball from their base position runs through the passing lane. That's where you can teach them to be so aggressive. That's where in practice you can set that up where it's a steal every time. And it does. It instills a lot of confidence in your kids. And again, it also teaches them the angles. It teaches them, we're like, you've got to be a student of where the ball is on the court, where the trap is, because you have to be at the right angles. But it teaches all of that. But you're right. I mean, instilling success and, setting up your drills where kids are successful in this day and age. That's a very important thing, Kevin. Very important thing.
Yeah, and I do notice some coaching girls my entire career is confidence is key,
It is.
and how you coach them. I'm not saying make it easy. You got to make it competitive and challenging, but you need to have your girls really confident in the system that you run, right?
I agree. It'd be real easy to take this and, sometimes I accuse our assistant coaches of, their offense and our defense. They're sitting there trying to figure out, ways and where they're going to set people to be able to, counter what we're doing. And I laugh sometimes. I'm like, okay, I give up. If you do this, I'll do something different. But I think it's real easy sometimes to work kids in situations where they're not very successful. And, then I think that breaks them down rather than reinforcing the good things. And I've done this a long time, and you have too. And, there was probably a time where you could coach like that, and you could, really kind of browbeat kids and just, I don't think that's the way that, at least not the way that I want to do things now. I think we have a lot more success when we coach our kids up and, we allow them to have some success and to see what that looks like and feels like.
Yeah, absolutely on that. Success drills. I mean, based, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but your girls have to have success in activity, but with challenge. I mean, with
Yes,
challenge,
yes.
obviously. Yes, that's a great point. For all the coaches coaching girls out there, that's great advice from Coach Varney. No doubt about that. Coach,
And there's a
thank
time to
you
be
so much for
hard.
sharing. I
There's a
really
time to be
appreciate it.
hard. But I think there's a time when you want them to feel that, to feel that success.
And kids, I mean, I don't know if kids are different or we're different, but
True.
there is a certain way that you have to build relationships and communicate with kids these days, right?
Yes.
And before you go, Coach, talk about the difference between when you first started till now. What have you grown? What have you learned to become a better coach today?
Oh my gosh, for the first 10 years of coaching Kevin, I didn't have anyone in the gym with me. It was just me, and I had to do so much by trial and error. I was like a little sponge. So I went to every clinic that I could go to. We didn't have all the film that we could study. You had to go actually put your butt in the bleachers, and watch people. We didn't get a chance. We didn't have everything on television like we do now. So I would say I went from just kind of being what I call a drill junkie. I wrote down everybody's drills. I wrote down everybody's everything. And, and I ran things that we didn't have the personnel to run. And I think the difference now is that hopefully, we're a little bit more discerning about those kinds of things. I mean, I still love to learn. I still love to go, but you know, I look at things with a discerning, you know, mentality, and I'm like thinking about, does that fit our, you know, does that fit our scheme? Because we really try to have a program where we have a foundation, we build on that foundation. You know, it it helps our kids to be, you know, good basketball players. You know, it helps them to have a basketball IQ, I think, when you can layer things. And so I would say that, you know, that's probably the biggest thing now. And I have three great assistant coaches, and, you know, we have two middle schools where we have, you know, great middle school coaches that, that feed us, you know, good kids. Right. So I think it's, you know, I'm not trying to do everything by myself, you know, like I did in the very beginning, but, I will say this, you know, I think if maybe, I have any strength, it is that I have always been so fortunate to be able to hire great assistant coaches and to have great people, not people necessarily that are just like me, you know, but I think that we should have coaches on the floor that our kids can relate to. They don't all relate the best to me. You know, they relate, you know, sometimes better to other people. Sure. And I'm going to always give our coaches the freedom to be that in those, you know, with those kids. The buck's going to stop with me. You know, I'm going to take the blame when things are not successful. Right. But at the same time, you know, I'm smart enough to know that, you know, the success that we have had has come from a team effort. You know, it's come from collectively having really good coaches, you know, in our system.
Yeah, the coaches, you're saying the coaches who speak your language, like they, yes. You know what yes. I'm saying? So you're all, yes. You're all on the same page, which is vitally important, right, Coach? I mean,
it is.
Yeah, yes. Hey, before you go, my last question is momentum. Don Yeager, who's one of the great interviewers of all time, one of his great questions is, how do you gain momentum in sport? What's the key to momentum? So you guys go on like a program, your momentum in your program has been going on for years. Like, or in a game, like what decides momentum in a game? What's the key to that mentally? Give me your perspective on that.
You know, I'm going to tell you that I think that constant evaluation is the key to momentum, because things change. Things are fluid. They're changing all the time. And I think that, you know, to be able to, you know, when I say go with the flow, but to be able to make changes and to adapt as we go along, I mean, that's what I think builds momentum. You know, I'm a big one that, you know, I don't believe when we're not successful in something, you know, the first thing I look at is I look at us as teachers, you know, and I look at our execution. I don't look at, you know, what we're running. You know, I don't believe in throwing out, you know, the baby with the bathwater. I look at, you know, fundamentally, what are we not doing right? You know, why are we not executing? Why are we not making this shot? Why are we not getting the ball where it needs to be? And again, so I think it's constant evaluation of what you're doing, because when you can do that and you can adapt, you can build momentum. You can build momentum, you know, and I think that's the key.
That's a great point on that. And that's why you're so successful and you're constantly evaluating you, yourself, because a lot of times, don't we have to look in the mirror and say, hey, we lost the game because I did not prepare enough, right?
Yes. I mean, it's always, to me, it's always about what we didn't teach, you know, what we should have done. I mean, it's all of those things that that haunt us. But, you know, to me, just going back to the basics, you know, going back to, you know, what those fundamental things are that we need to do better in order to be successful next time, you know, that's what I think is important.
Absolutely. Coach, thank you for taking the time. I know you got to get back to work and so forth. Thanks for I wanted to give you a little bit of a break here, you know, kind of away from the school.
Hey, so, you did. It was great. It was great.
I appreciate it.
I enjoyed myself so much, and I can't wait for your book to come out.
Awesome on that. And you're going to be part of that. That's okay. You're going to be part of that because you're one of the most successful coaches running this particular defensive style. Coach, you're a treasure to our coaching profession. A lot of great coaches there in Texas. You're one of the best. And thank you for coming on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. And I'll send you some clips. And so I want to know, I need to get on your list, and I need to be watching your podcast. So, you know, yeah. It won't be that I have to be on your podcast the next time. I'm going to be waiting for that. Thank you very much.
Coach, okay. Thank you so much for sharing the game with us. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, coaches, I hope you really enjoyed listening to my podcast with Coach Rhonda Farney from Georgetown High School. What a brilliant coach. 49 years of coaching. Hey, I want to share with you three really important points that I got out of this this great interview and so forth. And hopefully you really enjoyed it and you had your notepad out writing some great notes. Number one, she coached under the great Jody Conrad, who was a great Texas coach. She was a great mentor of Coach Farney. And the one key thing that I got out of that is do your homework. You have to do your homework as a coach. You have to constantly grow, study the game, go to clinics. I thought that was really key. I think many coaches today and so forth, you gotta put the time in. You gotta really constantly grow as a coach, constantly do your homework on getting better. Number two, I really like some of her key terms that she has out. One is shells out, which is a term that she calls, make sure you keep the ball sideline to sideline, keep the ball out of the middle, force the ball out of the middle, trap wide. She calls it shells out, and I think that's a great point. And another thing is what she calls convert. Convert is you're converting to the corner, which means in the corner, in her twilight zone defense, they trap. So you got to be able to convert and rotate. Everybody has to move and sprint to their spots. And the last one is squeeze. I think it's a really good point. And that is when the ball is at the corner, the person guarding the elbow has to clog down and front the low post. So those are some key terms that I really like within her defense. Another good point was this. You cannot leave your feet when trapping. Stay on the ground. That just makes you quicker. And that's a great point that I'm going to add into my press defense that I use as well. So those are three key points. I hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. I do want to give you my website, and that is at CoachTube, which is coachtube.be/membership/championship-vision-basketball-library. All right, let me repeat that. CoachTube, coachtube.be/membership/championship.vision/basketball/library. I will have all my membership information of all my CoachTube videos, my instructional videos that I have on file. Please feel free to contact me at fortitlek57@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I know there's not a lot of great podcasts out there, but I really appreciate you listening to this podcast.